You can go outside and play. Just make sure when the lights come on, you're back in the house. It's okay to understand, okay, I'm not 8 anymore. I'm not 12. Somewhere in there, we get stuck. Like I said, I got pregnant. My mama said, oh, you getting married. At that point, no one told me that I had a voice to say, excuse me, I love you, but no, I'm not. But I had a sister, got pregnant 16. I was at least graduated high school. She was 16. And she got pregnant. She went to my mom and she was like, okay, well, I'm having a baby. And my mom was like, okay, well, it's going to be me, you, and the baby. And I'm like, I'm married. See, so again, I was never told, listen, it's okay to be you now. Mm-hmm. You grow up. Because the thing between us sisters is, and we still do this to each other, well, mommy said that you shouldn't, and we're in our 50s. Mm. We're in our 40s. Wow. My sister is 49, 51, I'm 55. And we will have literal arguments on the phone. Well, mommy said that we shouldn't do that. And we're still there.
Mm-hmm. So one of the key things that I learned last year and still in mm-hmm. therapy through is a term enmeshment.
Mm-hmm.
And the term enmeshment means you are enmeshed or you are engrafted with, in this particular instance, your parents. There is at some point an opportunity as we grow to then separate. And in that separation point, you are then becoming your own identity, your own person.
Right.
And oftentimes, I have found in our community, there isn't that line of delineation.
Right.
And so then we find ourselves, mm-hmm. as I've learned,
right,
over the past year, still identifying with that voice-contained 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Or 10-year-old. Or 12-year-old, wherever that is for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ability to have a voice to say, that doesn't work for me, to our parents.
Right.
We haven't had that point of separation, which is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to like when the bird, I used to think it was so cruel when you would see like a mother bird who would like toss the baby bird out of the nest, you know, because it's like, no, you're at the point now where you need to be able to fly on your own. You need to be able to take care of yourself. You need to be able to move and evolve as a growing bird. And I think what I have learned over the past year is that separation is so necessary for the development of our voice.
Yeah.
For the development of our identity, for the development of being able to be so confident enough to say, yeah, I really love when we are out and you touch me in the small of my back mm-hmm. and this little spot right here behind mm-hmm. the ear
yeah.
does something for me. You know, there's so much power and empowerment and yeah. then being able to say when we're on the phone with siblings, when we're on the phone with friends that, mm-hmm. you know, mommy said, but let me tell you what I think. What I think is right. such and such and such and such. And I don't mean that as a disrespect.
I'm
saying what I have learned, how mm-hmm. I did not have a proper separation.
That, yeah.
And it became really challenging for me in my 40s to learn that there were so many parts of me that were still that 9-year-old little girl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
Who was right. still seeking approval, who was still seeking, are you good with that? Let me run this decision by you.
Right.
What are your thoughts about that? And I'm thinking, I am a whole grown and like own property, and I'm still seeking
right.
because I didn't have that separation, the approval of my parents.
Right.
And right. I think it's a healthy separation that then strengthens our voice
mm-hmm.
in our life situations, yeah. in our romantic relationships, even being able to tell a partner
right.
what we like, what we don't like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
So,
So hearing you say that, brings me to another, realization that, that is what has limited me intimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has limited me. That has put limits in my brain, you know, in my marriage intimately. Yeah. Because it's like, well, if I'm doing all of this, you know, like really, if my mama knew, what would she think?
Girl, your mama should not be in your bedroom.
Right, right. And that, and I, and that, it, I'm just sitting here with little light bulbs. You know, it's probably halos, not halos, but light bulbs around my head, because I'm like, yeah, that's, and that's, this had, this has been, one of the issues I believe, because there was never that, what you call,
transition,
right?
From, and I was saying this yesterday about mothering an adult, a new adult,
mm-hmm.
still dependent, but nevertheless, it's right. reached the age of majority, and it's, you know, asserting her majority in some areas, right. you know, that it forced me into this place of realization that my job before was to be out front, right, as the guide.
Right.
And I'm leading her and I'm guiding her. But once she reaches majority and asserts autonomy, I am now behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm letting her, as painful as it might be to watch sometimes, but allowing her to lead and playing a supporting role in her development.
Mm-hmm.
And every day it's difficult, and I'm learning new ways to do that. Mostly it's learning how to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
That's and hard. just nod and right. to offer advice when it's solicited.
Right.
But otherwise to recognize that if I continue to lead, when does she ever feel empowered
Correct.
And ready
right.
to lead her own life? Because my parenting style has always been to parent in a way that I can feel confident that she's going to be successful when I'm no longer here.
Right.
Because I won't, if everything goes as it should, she will outlive me. Right. And I want to be able to go into the great by and by.
Right.
Confidently knowing that she is going to be able to thrive without me in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is requiring me to now come to the back, to fall back a bit,
mm-hmm.
so that she can discover her voice.
Right.
That's great. That's right. a really big deal.
Yeah.
It's hard to let go.
I would love to say that it's something, my parenting style has always been my parenting style. My goals have always been my goals. But I can't say that I was always good at it. She sort of demanded that I adjust by, again, asserting her autonomy.
Good. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, you know, it was frightening at first. But then the conversation we're having now and my relationship with my own mother helped me get there very quickly to say, allow her to fly.
Right.
Right. Allow her to go and be there to help her pick up the pieces when necessary. But this is her life.
That's so scary.
You cannot live it for her.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
And how damaging is it for you to try?
Right.
To live it for her. Right. It's hard, though.
It is hard.
Yeah.
I remember those times very well. I had a guy friend that's still my friend, and I'll never forget, he told me, you need to get your son off your titty.
Mm.
He's 14. You need to get him off your breasts. What? Here I am thinking I'm doing this great parenting job, right? And he's like, why do you have to leave your job to come and take him to school? High school? No, he needs to get his behind on the bus like everybody else. Let me tell you what happened the first day he got on the bus. You're right, Richard. You're right. Thank you, Richard, for that, if you ever hear this. It changed my life. It really made me see things in a different light. And so he got on the bus the next day. I worked, you know, in traffic, went to work. And my little secretary at work said, have you seen the news? I was like, what? My son went to a high school in the junior college. You guys know about that program?
Mm-mm.
So he's a freshman in high school. So by the time you graduate high school, you can have a 2-year degree and your high school diploma.
Right,
so this,
right.
He was one
dual.
Of the first
classes.
And so I remember she came, Consuelo said, there's been a shooting at your son's school.
Oh my! This was the first day.
The first day of him riding the bus by himself. Can you imagine the fear? Mm-mm. Oh, I was terrified. I sobbed the whole way. I don't know if my son ever heard this story. I cried literally the whole way. I just left everything at work. I went home, went to the school, and because it was happens to be where the buses are that the shooting took place, where the buses are leaving.
Oh, wow.
I'll never forget it. And so I'm looking for him on the bus. I'm looking, and I'm screaming, "Damn it!" I'm screaming for him. And he turns around and is like, "Mom, you're embarrassing me."
He has no idea the turmoil that's been going on in your head.
No idea. He was clueless, could care less. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Why are you making this a big deal? That happened, 20 minutes, 30 minutes ago. Like, it wasn't even our bus. Mm-hmm.
That will preach. I mean, just bringing it full circle, to the conversation that we're having about finding our voice and as Black women over 40, being able to step into our power and walk into our power, defining what love looks like for us. We make decisions based on what we think people need from us. Mm-hmm. And it may not even be that.
That is so, so profound. Yeah. So true.
I mean, literally, mm-hmm. we are crafting our lives around these ideals of what the external world requires from us and never question whether or not that's in fact true.
Right.
And then we die unfulfilled.
Yes.
Unpleasured.
Yes.
Well.
Right? Because we're focused on what he, she, and they need.
Right.
And never using that energy and that time and that space to turn those questions inward.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving something that's not even required, that's not even appreciated, because it's not a thing for the person in which you're living for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not a thing, or it was a thing at one time, and that's now that time is now past, and that's now an antiquated need, and it's now been replaced. It's kind of like if we technologically were still using a rotary phone,
right,
and thinking, oh yeah. Everybody needs a rotary phone. I mean, why would you need a rotary phone? Everybody has a rotary phone. But everybody else is like, so you don't have like a cell phone? Again, in our mind, we're thinking, but at one time, if you didn't have the rotary dial phone, for our younger people, just Google rotary phone.
Just go with it.
The over 40 crowd knows exactly what I'm talking about. But if we still have in our mind, but that was a need, because at one time it was a need.
Yes.
But that need has now evolved, but we haven't evolved with that need. And maybe what was a need, the rotary phone, now is no longer a need at all. And so I can then create space, which is what we were talking about in the last episode. I can then create space for something new for me.
Yeah.
That I need.
That's good.
Yes.
It was definitely eye-opening.
Yeah,
yes, I bet.
That was a very good analogy. Yes, thank you.
No. Yeah. I mean, as I'm speaking, it's awakening something in me as well. I mean, because we are on this, we spoke earlier about, we're all on this journey, those of us who have decided to keep growing.
Right. Keyword.
Decided.
Yes.
Which I've learned that decision means to the exclusion of all other options.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I am doing this, and there is no other option for me. I have decided to grow.
Right.
And that means I have to reevaluate my relationships. I have to reevaluate how I'm showing up in the world, what I'm requiring of myself and other people, and in intimacy. And we talked on an earlier episode, Kelly and I, I got the question of about intimacy between the sandwich years, and I want to throw this out to you ladies too. How do you maintain intimacy during the sandwich years? And Kelly defined this for me as the years between sort of, transitioning maybe to parenting adult children, taking care of parents, because I have a boomer mom that I'm supporting as she's aging, have aging parents. I also have a 4-year-old. So, like, you're talking about the same. Like, I'm probably the truest definition. Like, I'm right there in the middle of a lot of different dynamics in terms of what my family life looks like and how do you maintain intimacy. And the honest answer to that is I don't know. Like, I am just learning how to be honest about the fact that I don't have the answer. Full stop.
Wow.
I don't know. But I do know that there are changes in my body, that there are changes in how I have to show up as a mother, as a daughter, as a friend, as a business partner, that has me so stretched that it is affecting intimacy. It is affecting my ability to be vulnerable,
right,
to say what I need, to even understand what I need intimately.
Right.
Because it becomes sort of the last thing on the list sometimes.
Yeah.
You lose yourself.
Yeah, you very easily could completely lose yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw that question to you all. If you've lived through it, if you're in it now, I know you, Pam, you have adult children.
Yeah.
Lavi, you have adult children. You're single, you're married. Yeah. How have you managed intimacy?
Now as I look back over the past years, like the past 3 or 4 years, we've been married, like I said, 36 years. And as I look back now, we are enjoying each other more now than we ever have. Like laughing, joking. His pet name for me is Pinky. And I asked him, like, why you call me Pinky? And he told me, yeah, that's a full stop.
And I was like, you're not sharing tonight.
So, yes, I would share. So, anyway, right. So, everything about me is pink.
Okay.
Like pink.
Okay.
So, top, bottom, yeah. Yeah.
Full stop.
She's going to love that top when you come home tonight, honey.
Right. So that's why. And we have finally come to the understanding that it's me and you against the world.
Yeah.
Finally. Wow. With all the struggles, with all the fussing and the disagreements, all of that, he said at our last anniversary, I asked him, I said, what made you want to stay? What made you stay with me? Because of how I am. I am a free willed butterfly. You leave the house, it's pink. You come home the next day, it's green. Okay. You leave the house today, all the furniture is over here. When you come in from work, all the furniture is over there. So I'm just all over the place. And I asked him, I said, what made you stay or want to stay? And he said, because you never left.
Mm.
He said, you never gave up on me. Wow. I was like, wow. He said, people would have been left. Nobody would have put up with this. And I was like, so you did this to me on purpose? So now I'm getting angry.
You tested me all these 36 years.
Yeah. And I said, wow. But now we're coming to really enjoy each other. Mm. Like there are some times, like throughout the day, I will physically miss him. And I'll call him and say, I don't know, but I just wanted to call you because I miss you. He was like,
Pam, can you give me some advice as somebody that's not been married for 36 years?
Okay.
Like, not close.
Okay.
So, no, let me ask the question. Okay. Because, baby, I don't have 36 years to get there. So how can I expedite shortcut? What's the shortcut to this?
Okay, I am so glad you asked, and I have been wanting to share this with all. Okay, so, all right, so.
Wait a minute. Class of Pam is in session.
Yes.
Okay, go.
Okay, so you don't make the situations about you. Mm. It's not about you.
Mm. My top knot just came loose.
When he is upset, unraveled. When he is upset, let him be upset. That's not about you. Don't make that about you. Arguments are about you proving that you're right.
Ooh, I'm a lawyer, though.
Okay. I know.
She can't help it. That's right. What she does. They argue.
Right.
But do you take the lawyer hat off then?
Baby, correct. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn how.
Yeah. I would imagine that would have to be intentional, though.
You have to.
Because you're very good at what you do. Right. And so I can see it being very innate.
Right. Yeah. So right. Mm-hmm. So and when he gets upset, I don't cop the attitudes anymore, because he get upset and I'm like, okay, so what you mad about? Until I just end up in myself, he's upset. Let me go wash dishes. I mean, I don't, but let me go find some clothes to
order
fold.
Another Tesla.
Right.
Listen, I heard about peppermint and
pebbles. Yes, we have peppermint and pebbles.
The two Teslas.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. One is red and white, and one is black and white. Mm-hmm. So, but I never. I learned to really, really walk out the word. Love is patient. Mm-hmm. It's kind. It's long. Long suffering.
And it keeps
As we define. Okay, so it is as long until you get over it.
And you know my favorite part of that scripture actually is it keeps no record of wrong.
Zero.
Oh,
zero.
It's my favorite.
Gotta throw my tally sheet away.
Yes. Yes you do. Yes, you do.
I definitely keep score, if we're being honest.
Okay, yeah, no.
That's honest.
I mean, yeah, it's that's no value. I mean, what value is that bringing to you?
Okay.
Proving you right.
That's right.
Yep.
She's exactly
a lawyer,
right.
Because she's
yeah. And it prolongs the argument because you play it and you replay it in your
baby.
Mind. In your mind.
I dream about it. And I wake up with a new defense.
Correct.
Or a new offense.
Right, right. So, okay, so ma'am, I would object because now you're in violation because you're not supposed to go to mad angry. You're not supposed to go to bed angry.
Oh,
so
okay. Now, is that realistic?
No. And let me tell you why.
It's really hard.
Now, it is difficult. What I will say is there are times when I can count on one hand, when my husband and I have not been on the same page.
Right.
And we've talked about actually that particular scripture, both of us being PKs.
Right.
But what we have talked about is what we have found works best for us in that scenario is it is better that we don't have a conversation because we both have not worked through our emotions.
Now that makes sense.
If we have a conversation for the sake of being in alignment with that text, it is going to place our household in a space of a lack of peace. So we have taken the perspective of we give ourselves 24 hours. We don't want it to go and linger. And as you were mentioning earlier, those small things that start adding up. So we give ourselves 24 hours, but we do want to have a conversation. But once the emotion is passed,
right.
And we can have a conversation about the facts, Madam Esquire. About the facts and debate the facts.
Listen, I have a friend who, and this blows my mind. Her and her partner, her husband, will be in a full-fledged, fight and have sex that night and still wake up the next day to finish the fight. Now, here's my thing. She don't work like that. When I'm mad, she's mad.
Right.
So
correct.
I don't even understand how intimacy and we haven't resolved.
Correct.
But they do it. And I mean, maybe it's one of those to each his own things.
Yeah, I think
Coach Labby.
I swear I've done that.
You have.
I was married to my baby daddy for a number of years, 20 years. And then we separated and then we got back together. Never do that. But we did for 9 more years, which was okay. But so he was of the school. He can't do anything angry. I will tear you up. I mean, I will go in the bathroom and put on the most sexiest, wear some heels, whatever, girl, whatever it took to try. Well, can we just have sex and you be mad tomorrow?
I was totally serious. Now, what was driving that? Was that because you the sexual need, or was that?
The sexual need. Oh. That was it. Period. I was very oversexed. Right. Just like sex. So okay. I could not be mad at you while we have sex, and then
I don't work that way.
Is that a mind over body?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's powerful. That is powerful.
Absolutely, mind over. Can we just one time, and then you could be mad? No, just leave me alone.
Oh wow. Yeah. She don't work that way.
Mm-mm. Oh, she will. Yeah. She will anyway. What? What is that? What? Oh, yeah, bring it on over here, boo. Yes, anyway.
Can't do it.
And you can be mad. I will suggest to you, my suggestion to you to move forward with whatever it is, because what it sounds like is you will lose yourself. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that I lost myself until the first time we separated. And as soon as he left, I lost like 30 pounds.
Mm. You lost physical weight.
Physical weight. Wow. And his 200 pounds, like, you know, and his weight. But physically, I lost the weight. I was so stressed out in the whole relationship. And I'll never forget when I saw him the next time. He was at his friend's house. So I went over there trying to be seducing because I'm very oversexed and I like sex a lot. So I was trying to be the seductress, and I had this beautiful little two-piece outfit on. I remember I'm like 30, almost 40 pounds down. Mm-hmm. And I went from like a size 14 to a 10. I said, did you notice anything different? Can you tell I lost weight? No, I can't tell anything. Mm. So it was that very moment that I realized I will never, ever lose myself again. Mm. With the kids, the school, the family, the mama, the dad. I mean, I was just, who is Lavi? Mm-hmm. Who is she? Mm-hmm. Like, where is she? Right? I just lost myself.
I think that's the ultimate question for mm-hmm. Black women over 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who am I? What am I? Where am I? Mm-hmm. Why am I?
And I do feel like it's a recurring question.
Yeah.
Because maybe at 30, the answer to that question is different than that answer at 40. And that answer at 50, and that answer when we're married, and mm-hmm. that answer then when we're divorced, and that answer when we're 20 with young children, or when we're 40.
In the 20s, we're probably not even asking. Thinking that deeply.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're just out there
just
living.
Just going with flow.
Like ping pong.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. So keep your spa day appointments.
Yeah.
Take your PTO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotta have that work-life balance. Have date nights.
Mm-hmm. On a random Tuesday.
Every other random Tuesday. You have to, even if you have to plan it, sometimes you have to plan it.
Yeah.
So every third Tuesday, we're going to dress up or not, and it's going to be special.
I am learning that about intimacy is that it just doesn't fall out of the sky. Like, just like with every other part of the marriage, like probably intimacy the most, like you have to be thoughtful about it. Like, you know, how are we defining intimacy? Is it long walks in the park holding hands? Is it sex? Is it, you know, role playing? Like, what factors into our intimacy as a couple? And I've been married now. I've been with my husband for 15 years, married for almost 13. And I think we're just starting to have those conversations mm-hmm. about, okay, what does this look like for us? You know, because I think you just come into the marriage, it's like you do what married people do.
Right.
You know, like you try to have a date night, then you have the kids, you can't make it, then you're working and you da-da-da. But, you know, we're at an inflection point where it's like, if we don't figure this out, there might not be a year 17, 18, 19, because mm-hmm. we are changing so much individually.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm becoming sober to so much of who I am as a woman.
Yeah.
At 43, that we have to make a conscious decision to grow together.
Right.
And I have to be able to tell you what I need. You have to be able to tell me what you need. And then we respond and we create that. And it's for years, I just thought it would happen.
Mm-hmm. On its own.
Right.
And baby, it ain't happened yet.
Yeah.
You gotta say it.
There's some intentionality behind it.
Yeah.
You know, my husband and I just recently had a conversation where he was sharing with me, and I think he'd be okay with me sharing this. He was sharing with me the whole initiation piece, because I'm coming from a very PK, very pious, 17-year abstinent before we got married scenario. And so in my mind, as I was sharing in our previous episode, don't have sex. You're not married. Don't have sex. And that was the record that played for 17 years. Mm. That record doesn't work inside the confines of a marriage.
Right.
So not only am I having to take that record off of the record player, but now I'm having to then catapult forward to him feeling wanted and needed desired. Sex, right? It's like, wait a minute. I just went from like 17 years of no sex and this is bad and this is wrong to now not only do I have to have sex, I have to have a fair amount of it. And, you know, what are his needs? And so... Mm-hmm. Those conversations of what does that intimacy look like now that we're in this space, and that intentionality of the conversation, and you are a mom and you are building a business and you are building a brand and all these things. And it's like the Tuesday date night takes a stopping and having a conversation, getting our calendars together, our schedules together, whatever we need to do. Similar to, okay, I have to be conscious. Like, okay, I have to initiate the moment.
How?
What does that look like? Does it start early in the day with text messages, with foreplay? Is it, you know, just a random, you come in the door and I'm here, you know, like intentionally thinking, okay, his needs and what is it that he desires? And, ooh, child.
So it's exhausting. What is his love language? What is your love language? I mean, it has to be.
Yes. And you have to have that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this has been beautiful. Again, we were talking about this earlier, about episode 3 and having you ladies on. It was such a rich conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally went home and just kind of poured over it in my head. Because I learned so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think as a community, we said this last night too, these conversations are absolutely imperative to the health and well-being of even the next generation.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the benefit of it.
Right.
But we're doing it. And remembering that when we live our truest selves, when we learn to ask for what we want, to receive what we need, mm-hmm. we are being living demonstrations to those who are coming behind us that this is possible.
Right.
That you can take off the cape. You can say what you don't know. You can ask for help.
So
you can
hard.
Receive love.
Yes.
And you can have good sex.
Yes. And not be ashamed.
And not be ashamed of it.
And not be ashamed. Yeah.
That's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies, for joining this safe space, for being so candid, for taking kitchen table talk in a public space.
Yeah.
I really believe, and I'm sure Malia does as well, that the things that you all have shared, the things that we've shared together as a group of women, Black women specifically, over the age of 40, have helped us redefine what life looks like, particularly in a romantic space, but what life looks like as Black women over the age of 40. So thank you for so much.
You're welcome.
For granting us the privilege of your presence and your essence and your life stories. Yeah. We appreciate you.
We really do.
Yes.
Thank you.
And if you found today's episode to be valuable to you, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what topics you'd like to talk about, to bring to the table. Your support helps us continue to have these important conversations that are really changing the narrative and the reality for so many Black women over 40.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media spaces. We are No Filter Femme on all social media spaces for updates, behind the scenes content, toast of Prosecco, before and after, and many more ways to connect with our amazing community. Until next time,
keep loving boldly.
Yes.
Believing.
And remember,
yes,
romance can be defined and redefined. Life can be defined and redefined at any age.
No filter.
Just real talk.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.